following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
What's up, everybody? It is Friday, June the 14th. Yes, it is finally Friday. We're ready to close out this week of podcasting, and we've got a great lineup for you tonight. Before we get started, if this is your first time joining us, first time hopping on here, somebody invited you on, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. Listen, if you missed last night's special broadcast, I was privileged to be a guest on the Big Picture podcast with Bishop Larry Ragland. We had a great segment. I hope that you got to watch that. If you didn't, I want to encourage you to go back and watch that. Again, you can find it right here on our YouTube channel. It's on our Rumble channel. It's on our Facebook page. And of course, if you've not downloaded the free app, that's a good way to watch it. It's easy. You can go to your Apple Store, your Google Play Store, download it. Look for End Time Headlines. If you type in, download the app, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to find that podcast there. You're going to find it in video and audio so that maybe you can watch it on app or you can watch it there on the video platform, but you can listen to it on the audio version. We're also on Apple and Spotify as well. So again, get your free app today so you can keep up with our ministry. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to cover different stories. We're going to kick this off tonight. I'm going to talk about the, we're going to kind of dovetail off of what I've been talking about this whole week. The extreme weather, everybody knows what we're talking about. It's all over the news. You can feel it. I live in the state of Georgia. I walk outside. It literally feels like I'm living on the coast of, it feels like I'm living in Florida. It feels like I'm living in Savannah. I mean, it is humid. It is hot, but it is nowhere compared to, places like Phoenix, Arizona that is shattering records. You're getting all these records that are being broke. We're seeing catastrophic, weather patterns, flooding, extreme weather events, all this stuff is happening. And as we talked about earlier this week, the World Health Organization has warned that these events are only going to get worse. The United Nations are preparing for this. The governments of the world are preparing for this. All of these agencies are prepared for this. So I found an article that was published by Michael Snyder. We share his content often here. We talk about the little segments that he writes in his blog post. And I thought this was an interesting article. And I mean, let me pull this up. You guys that are listening, here's the title of it. Quote, "Is bizarre activity on the sun causing catastrophic disasters across the globe? Is bizarre activity on the sun causing catastrophic disasters all over the globe?" This is what he's talking about in this article. I'm going to read a little bit about this. Before I read this, we know biblically in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells us that there will be signs in the sun. There will be indicators that, now it's interesting, he uses the word signs here. I believe these signs are only going to be seen by those who have understanding of the times and seasons which we're in. To the average individual, they're not going to notice this. This is going to go overlooked. This is going to be something that will be completely ignored. But we as believers are told that there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars as indicators of the coming of the Lord. The sun is approximately 864,400 miles across. This is about 109 times the diameter of the earth. The sun weighs, now don't ask me how they all know this. I'm going by what they're telling us, okay? Nobody's went out there with some scales and weighed the sun. So we're only going by what they're telling us, okay? So you do what you want with it. But according to the quote-unquote experts, the sun weighs approximately 333 times as much as the earth, and it is so large that about 1.3 million planet Earths can fit in the inside of it. Think about how big that is. And we know, according to, we've shared a lot of articles on this and stories, the sun is becoming increasingly more active. In fact, more than 160 sunspots were detected in the month of June alone. Let me say that again. More than 160 sunspots were detected in the month of June alone. This, according to this report, this was the highest monthly number in more than two decades. Quote, now this is from, this is according to NASA and the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The data confirmed that the current solar cycle, the 25th since records began, is picking up intensity at a much quicker pace than these agencies forecasted, sparking concerns of severe space weather events in the months and years to come. Interesting. Again, we better be paying attention to this stuff. I don't care if you believe the earth is round or flat. I'm just telling you, you better pay attention to what's being said, because I refuse to be caught off guard. We're to know the times and seasons in which we're in. Just a few days ago, one sunspot grew to be 10 times wider than the earth in just 48 hours. As a result of this, it released an X-class flare that could have potentially caused major problems. Quote, an enormous, rapidly growing sunspot on Earth's surface has unleashed a mighty X-class flare, the most powerful type of solar flare the sun is capable of producing. The solar flare slammed into our planet, triggering brief radio blackouts in parts of the U.S. and elsewhere, but it could have been a lot worse, according to experts. The enormous dark patch named AR-3354 emerged on the solar surface on the 27th of June, and within just a short 48 hours had grown to cover around 1.35 billion square miles. That is mind-blowing. Or 10 times wider than the Earth. Space weather scientists were alarmed by the colossal sunspot's rapid emergence and feared that it could spit out a barrage of potentially harmful solar storms, according to spaceweather.com. Now, Michael Snyder stressed in his article that scientists have known for a long time that when the sun becomes more active, it has a tremendous impact on our weather. Here's where it gets interesting. Think about all the weather anomalies, the historic records that are being broken, the extremities that are happening with the weather. Could this be a result of this solar activity that's going on in space that's producing this? For example, a mega cluster of tornadoes struck the Chicago area. This is very rare and it's unusual.
Severe weather, tornadoes in the Chicago area. Look at this massive twister churning past fields in Campden Hills, Illinois. Another tornado near O'Hare International Airport forced hundreds of people to take shelter there. Luckily, the airport was spared any damage, but take a look at these pictures from the nearby city of Elgin.
In the village of Campden Hills, zero visibility rain set the scene for this tornado churning west of Chicago. It was just one of the numerous reports of tornadoes surrounding the nation's third largest city.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
A tornado touched down near O'Hare International Airport, sending thousands of travelers in multiple terminals to seek shelter away from the windows. Flights there and at Midway were grounded for around 45 minutes. The damage across the area was extensive, snapping metal street signs, tearing down trees, and peeling roofs.
Right now, these four houses are uninhabitable. They're identifying the structural issues.
Over in 30 seconds.
Tornado!
Elgin, a community northwest of Chicago, took a hit. Several homes were damaged.
All I saw was the tornado come straight down here, and debris started flying all over the place.
The tornadoes capped days of severe weather in the Chicago area, including hailstorms and heavy winds.
One journalist said, quote, I have never seen anything like this in Chicago before. Then, of course, on the East Coast, we talked about this earlier this week on our podcast, the state of Vermont got 2 months of rain in 2 days.
These parts of New York and Vermont again. This system already bringing at least 10 tornadoes outside Chicago. Passengers forced to shelter in place in tunnels connecting the terminals at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. those tornadoes across three states, seven of them confirmed near Chicago, two tornadoes developing at the same time in St. Charles, Illinois. One Twister touching down near O'Hare Airport, halting flights for a time. Twisted Metal landing on a pickup truck there. Other vehicles damaged in a parking lot in Huntley, Illinois. Rooftops ripped off suburban Chicago homes. This same system on the move right now, hitting the Northeast tonight. So Rob Marciano will time it all out. And ABC's Trevor Ault leading us off tonight in Vermont, where, of course, they are bracing for heavy rain and floods yet again.
Tonight, severe thunderstorms that spawned at least 10 reported tornadoes in the Midwest overnight. Now targeting the storm-weary Northeast. New York and Vermont once again in the crosshairs, just days after record-breaking rain washed out train tracks and roads.
This isn't over, and it won't be over after this storm.
The same system set to hit the Northeast already causing a flash flood emergency in Louisville, Mississippi, northeast of Jackson. Much further north, in the suburbs of Chicago, they're cleaning up after a violent 24 hours in the heartland. Tornado sirens sounding downtown during the evening commute. This funnel cloud spotted just beyond the plains at Midway Airport. And at O'Hare Airport, passengers sheltering in a tunnel between concourses. Homes in the southwest suburbs ripped apart.
When the winds kicked up really hard and really fast, and it was like, basement now, grab the dog, let's go.
But back in Vermont, officials late today confirming a 63-year-old man drowned in the floods. The governor warning,
we need to remain vigilant and prepared.
Then we go to India, where they have been dealing with catastrophic flooding as well. In fact, flooding in parts of New Delhi forced the city government to close all education institutions in India's capital this past Thursday and advised people to work from home while warning that there would be water rationing after a river there broke its banks. They have recorded 113% above average rainfall, according to the India Meteorological Department. Now, as a direct consequence of these, of the flooding and of the heat, the price of tomatoes in India has gone up 400%. Think about that. And now we have Europe. Europe is being slammed right now with heat waves that has baked them for days. And now they're saying that they could shatter the all-time record heat temperatures that they have ever recorded. Now, I want to go back to this Luke 21. And there should be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Going back to this again, this is all in the same sleeve here that we're talking about. This is an article from WION. The countdown to chaos, sun nearing solar maximum in 2 years, that would put us at 2025, threatening an internet apocalypse.
On Thursday, the Earth reached aphelion, its greatest distance from the sun. By the time the Earth reaches its closest point next January, scientists believe the sun could be experiencing what is known as solar maximum. Although the sun will still be some 91 million miles away. But the peak in solar activity could affect us here on Earth. Here to tell us what this all means is Derek Pitts. He's chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, it's good to have you back. What happens to the sun during a solar maximum?
Well, John, the sun really starts to show us what its life is like as an active star. The sun is a ball of very hot gas, about 27 million degrees at the core, about 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface. And because of the turmoil that goes on inside the sun, very, very intense magnetic fields are formed. And what happens is those magnetic fields build up. And on the surface of the sun during maximum, we see the expression of those magnetic fields releasing energy. And as they do that, we see sunspots, large sunspots, many sunspots, an increase in sunspots. We see solar flares. We see solar prominences. And there are also what are called large explosions or eruptions of plasma off the surface of the sun called coronal mass ejections. And all of these are the result of these intense magnetic fields on the sun.
What does this mean for us?
Well, what it actually means for us is that the blast of electromagnetic particles that comes out of the sun during what are called these coronal mass ejections, as they fall into the Earth's magnetic field, what happens is these can cause electrical surges here on the planet Earth. They can interrupt satellite communications. They can interrupt radio communications. They can cause power blackouts by causing surges in power transmission lines. And all of these things, of course, can disrupt, you know, what we're doing here on planet Earth. So whenever there's a maximum, a solar maximum, we're concerned about this. But especially in this case, where we think the maximum is going to be so much more intense than previous maxima have been, we're really thinking about what that means for us going forward.
Very interesting. Let's read a little bit about this. This is what they're saying here. The heightened interest in solar cycles and their potential impact on Earth has been ignited by the looming solar maximum in 2025. This period, characterized by heightened solar activity, has prompted concerns about the vulnerability of today's digital world to devastating solar storms capable of disrupting global communication networks. Now, remember, governments have been warning about this for a long time. They're talking about, you know, the communications being knocked down. We're going to talk about the power grids in just a moment. I want to, here in just a moment, when we get done talking about this part, I'm going to switch gears and talk about Phoenix, Arizona, and the new warning that just came out regarding them. This is very intriguing. According to the Washington Post, the sun will reach a solar maximum, a particularly active period in 2025. Now, what's interesting about that is, before we ever get to 2025, we've got a very interesting conjunction of solar eclipses that are happening next year in 2024 on an election cycle. We don't have time to cover that today. Next week, I want you to tune in next week, because we're gonna talk about that next week on next week's program. We're going to devote one segment to that. And we're going to talk about that solar eclipse coming in 2024. But in 2025, they're saying this will be the solar maximum, and that global communication networks could be vulnerable. According to these reports, there is a lack of preparedness and a surge of misinformation surrounding the issue, leading to an atmosphere of uncertainty and speculation. In fact, there is other sources that are debunking this. I found that on the internet when I was pulling this up. There's whole articles out there debunking this and saying there's nothing to worry about. This is all hyperbole. It's fear-mongering. But look, guys, I'm just saying that when all these agencies are giving us these warnings, that we need to be paying attention. And I'm not going to just brush this off and say, well, it's all fear mongering. No, I'm going to be paying attention, because there is too many things happening. And I just happen to understand the times and seasons in which we're in to ignore some of this stuff. While it remains unclear whether the 2025 solar storm could bring about the much dreaded end of the internet, discussions have emerged regarding the fate of the, quote, always online society in such an event. The Washington Post acknowledges that the concerns are not entirely unfounded, as the impact of a strong solar storm on Earth's interconnected infrastructure could result in widespread internet outages. Historical events like the Carrington event of 1859 that produced telegraph lines to spark and operators to be electrocuted, as well as the 1989 solar storm that disrupted the Quebec power grid for hours, serve as reminders of the potential dangers. Now, a computer science professor at the University of California, Irvine, who has played a significant role in bringing attention to this issue through her paper titled Solar Superstorms, Planning for an Internet Apocalypse, told the Washington Post about the uncertainty surrounding how current infrastructure would withstand extreme solar events, given that such scenarios are not accounted for in failure testing. Let me say that again. Such scenarios are not accounted for in failure testing. Well, gee, that's very comforting to know, isn't it? Quote, we've never experienced one of the extreme case events, and we don't know how our infrastructure would even respond to it. Our failure testing doesn't even include such scenarios. Whoa. The potential economic impact of a single day of lost connectivity due to a solar storm in the U.S. alone, listen to this, this is mind-blowing, is estimated to exceed $11 billion. Now, in light of this, in light of the extreme weather events, the extreme heat waves, the record-breaking temperatures, the solar activity, all this stuff is going on, I found it interesting. There was a piece that was written by heatmap.news, and the entire context of this article was how to survive a blackout and a heat wave. How to survive a blackout and a heat wave. Let me read a little bit of this. Quote, "What keeps emergency management officials up at night? Terrorist attacks, the big one, a direct hit from a category five hurricane. But when it comes to climate-related disasters, the one fear that often rises above all of these, think about this, above terrorism, above earthquakes, and category five hurricanes, the one thing that trumps all of this, according to several pieces and this report, is a blackout during a heat wave. According to a new research published this spring, a two-day citywide blackout in Phoenix, Arizona, during a heat wave could lead to half the population, which is 789,600 people, requiring emergency medical attention in a metropolitan area within 3,000 available beds, as many as 12,800 people could die. Let me say that again. A blackout, a two-day citywide blackout in Phoenix, Arizona, could lead to over nearly a million people requiring emergency medical attention with only 3,000 beds available, and as many as 12,800 people could die. This would be equivalent of more than 9 Hurricane Katrinas. All right, let's watch a little more about this right here on this video.
How would the city of Phoenix fare in the middle of a widespread blackout? Tonight, a new report is shedding light on what could happen if the power was turned off for days during a heat wave. Team 12's Jonathan McCall has the story.
A new report from the publication Environmental Science and Technology took a deeper dive into what could happen here in Phoenix over 5 days if the power grid were to fail, causing widespread power outages. The report was conducted by researchers from Arizona State, the University of Michigan, and the Georgia Institute of Technology. The report found if that scenario did play out, more than 12,000 people would die. Nearly 800,000 people would need to be treated for heat-related illnesses, putting a massive strain on hospitals. The study says that power outages lasting more than an hour, impacting more than 50,000 people, has increased by more than 150% from 2015 and 2016 and 2020 to 2021. Many of those outages happening during the summer months when demand for energy is at its greatest.
It's highly unlikely, but it is possible that we have small power outages that could last several hours throughout the valley.
Ron Coleman is with the Maricopa County Office of Emergency Management.
We have multiple generation facilities. So it's not just one power plant that provides the power to the valley. It's from a variety of places. And there's lots of redundancy and ability to overlap on each other in the valley.
While Coleman does call this a worst-case scenario, he says that city and county leaders work closely together with power companies to prepare for any type of scenario. As monsoon season...
Now, keep in mind, the publication of this study was a month ago, before the record heat wave that they're getting right now. I mean, we're talking day after day after day of temperatures in the triple digits, way beyond normal. It's normal in Phoenix to get hot, but we're talking about record breaking right now. So it's interesting, and we pray and hope that the power, the substations there, the power grid, everything holds up, and that what he's saying is true. So let's watch the rest
quickly
of this.
Approaches. He says there are plans in place to help the most vulnerable deal with the heat and also the impacts of outages.
And that's one of the things that I'm really, really confident and happy about is our ability to coordinate with our nonprofit partners, coordinate with other government agencies to be able to continue to provide services for folks.
So again, these onslaught of warnings just keep rippling out of, you know, bracing for the power grid, blackouts, communication shutdowns, this, that. So these are things that we need to be, again, on guard for, prepare for the best that we can. You know, the best we can naturally, spiritually, all these things. So we're going to shift gears now, and I want to talk about something that's going on in Sweden. Now, here's the story for you. Speaking of Phoenix, let's go back to Phoenix. Phoenix area Whole Foods stores are using Palm technology to make payments. Here is the, again, let's just not beat around the bush about this. This is the mark of the beast technology, the forerunner, the technology that will be used to condition society into embracing a system that requires buying, selling, and trading using their right hand. Okay? So let's watch a little bit about this. So check it out.
Pay with your palm. It's the latest technology hitting Whole Foods stores in the valley.
I love it. The more technology, the better.
It's called Amazon.
That right there. Do you hear that? Let me rewind that. We got to rewind that right there. This right here, this man's response to this, I'm telling you, is an absolute, this is the epitome of how society is going to embrace the mark of the beast. This is what, listen to what he says
stores
here.
In the valley.
I love it. The more technology, the better.
I love it. The more technology, the better. Even if it gets to the point where it requires something to be put in my body to be used as a source to make payments, to buy, sell, or trade. This is, again, we should not be surprised as this, as Christians, my friend. These are, again, signs of the coming of the Lord. Let's get on with this video. Let's watch a little more.
It's called Amazon One. Once you sign up, link your credit card, and scan your palm, it remembers your biometrics for future payments.
Biometrics are physical characteristics on the body. In the case of palm prints, we have lines and other markings that determine uniquely who we are.
Amazon.
Wow, did you hear that? So again, you tell me this ain't the very blueprints and the technology. We talked about that. I talked about that last night on The Big Picture on that podcast. I talked about how the system, the blueprint, everything that is needed for the beast system to come to fruition is here. It's now. It's available. And this proves it, guys. This is, again, more proof that everything is ready for this. All we need is the players. We just need the Antichrist to show up. We need the false prophet to show up. We need the third temple built. All, and by the way, the third temple, we did a whole podcast on this. Once they get those heifers done, if those heifers clear the process of whether or not they're eligible to be sacrificed for the ceremonial sacrifice needed for the ceremony of the dedication of the third temple, then everything's going to be set in motion for the construction of this temple. And they said that this could be within the next year or two. Wow, we are so close, beloved. Listen to this.
Says the technology is safe, secure, and seamless.
Sure
but
it
not
is.
Everyone is on board just yet.
It's interesting, I don't really think I'd be probably using it like anytime soon.
Katina Michael is an ASU professor in the School of Future Innovation in Society. She says it's important people understand what they're signing up for.
Amazon and other companies are touting this as a way for you to have greater control, greater security.
So it's interesting they say control and security. Tell me that's not... Listen, the security is what's going to sell it, and the control is what's going to keep it. Oh, let me say that again. When we get to the B system, in the name of safety and security, peace and safety, all those words go intertwined, don't they? This is how they're going to sell everything. They're going to sell the treaty with Israel with peace and safety. They're going to sell security with this technology. But listen, security and all this nonsense and convenience is what's going to sell it to the masses. But then once you get on board with it, it's all about control, because the Antichrist and the false prophet will control society through this very system. Now, look, I know people are going to read into this and listen to this, and they're going to say, well, Brother Ricky said that Amazon One is the mark of the beast and it's controlling the masses. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is the very blueprint technology, forerunning technology, that is paving the way for what we read about in Revelation 13. Listen, if it's not, you pray and tell me what is. What is going to be a system of buying, selling, and trading that is put in the right hand or in the forehead, and without it, you will not be able to live and function in society? You pray and tell me what it is then. Tell me what kind of technology it's going to be. I'm telling you, all the technology is here. AI, this palm scanning nonsense, the biometrics, the retinal scan, the voice scanning, all the voice modulator, all this stuff is there, and it's going to play in a role in both the mark of the beast and the image of the beast. Everything is set and in order and ready to go. The clock is ticking, it's counting down, and we're just in for the ride, my friend. That's why I said last night on the podcast, I said we have a window of time to warn and let people know of what's coming ahead.
But in fact, the consumer is not aware of the potential for data to be breached in the cloud.
Amazon says the data is protected and not stored on an Amazon One device. But Michael still has concerns.
But people have to be aware that their data is being stored on the cloud. Companies like Amazon touting this technology as highly secure, but they're not actually giving us more information about how long they're storing the palm signatures for, what they're doing with them.
Michael.
Okay, we got to rewind this. I want to play this clip. I want you to hear what he says right here, or she, or whatever this is. Let's listen.
The palm signatures for what they were. But they're not actually giving us more information about how long they're storing the palm signatures for, what they're doing with them.
Mike.
How long they're storing the palm signatures and what they're doing with them. Think about that.
Michael says if your data is stolen, there can be serious implications in the future as this technology evolves.
We have to know where that data is being stored, who is actually having access to it, and perhaps... in terms of warrant processes in the future, whether someone can accidentally find themselves in a case because their latent fingerprints or palm prints are actually in an item like a gun or a knife.
Guys, there's so many red flags in that. When you listen to what he was saying, I mean, red flags are going off everywhere. We don't know how long the palm... the palm prints of individuals are stored. We don't know who's storing them, and we don't know what they're doing with them. Well, I found I want to show you this video clip from Glenn Beck, and he was talking about this yesterday on his program. He talks about how the elites are building a digital jail wherein which they will seize control. So in other words, all of your information goes there. Everything you do is going to be monitored. Watch this. Let's watch this clip together.
So tie this again together. You're going to have a social credit score, something they denied. They said that that was a conspiracy theory. We warned you that it wasn't. Most of your friends have no idea what ESG is. It is vital that they understand that. That's what the entire first book, The Great Reset, was about. Once you understand that that's not a conspiracy theory, that that is a way to control corporations first, all the way down to you in the end. And when I say the end, I'm not talking 5 years out. I'm talking the next 18 to 24 months. It will control you. Then, when that is forced on everyone, you have an AI monitoring your every move.
Listen to that.
If you don't have the right credit score and they introduce CBDC, central bank digital currency, and it is...
And we're going to talk about that. Just as soon as he's done with this segment, I'm going to show you what an economist is warning about. And
programmable. Exactly what Kamala Harris was talking about with AI. Putting the information in that... It that the government wants it to have, so it will have certain parameters that these leftists want to have in for your money. It's not your money. If you step out of bounds, if you complain about LGBTQ, they don't need the FBI to investigate you.
Listen to this.
AI will already know what you've written.
Remember, we talked about that. If you've been watching our programs, if you've been listening to our podcast, the United Nations is all on board with this. They have created an AI that they're going to use to do all the legwork for this. We've been talking about this.
You're talking to what you said at any kind of meeting or any meeting where your phone is on. And if you think that I am exaggerating, you are sadly misled and misguided. It will gather all of the information automatically, and it will change your score in real time, and you won't be able to do things that you want to do.
And if it sounds familiar to you guys, this is what, you know who introduced this? China. China introduced this system. They've had this system in play for a while now. We've been warning about this for 3 years when they introduced this. It's been at least 3 years ago, I believe. It may have been 4 years ago. When they introduced this, we kept telling you that this was coming to America. It would be packaged. It would be shiny. It would be presentable. It would be enticing. And all the big tech giants and networks, Google, Microsoft, all of them would be on board with this. And this is because this is what they want. And here we have it. Now it's here. It's at our shores. And like Glenn is saying, and he said, well, I don't really like Glenn Beck. It don't matter. Listen, I don't care if you like him or not. What he's saying here is true. Within the next 18 to 24 months, reality is going to change. I'm telling you, the next 18 to 24 months, I think big things are on the horizon. Look at everything that's going on. The world, the disaster, the upheaval, the political upheaval, the AI, the digital currency, all this stuff, it's coming to a climax. We have but a short window. Have I said that lately? I think I have, and I'm going to keep saying that because I want to stress that over and over again, the time is running out.
We told you yesterday about how transportation, you're not going to be able to fly and go places. You're not even going to be able to drive your car from city to city if you don't have a perfect score. And as I told you yesterday or the day before, the UN, UNESCO, outlined in 2019 that you could have a low ESG score if you're a journalist. Why? Because you're going to be talking to people whose view does not agree with ESG or one of the other things that they're measuring. And if you talk to them for your job as a journalist, your point will go down, your score will go down, and you may not be able to drive your car.
I mean, will there even be journalists in flesh and blood journalists by the next 3 years, or will they be all replaced by AI? Come on, they want AI to replace any opposition, any opposing voice. They'll just replace them with AI. They can program them to say what they want.
You'll have to ride a bus. This is not science fiction. This is true, and it is happening, and I do not want you to take my word for it. You'll notice I said, this is page 156, and I told you that it was what, footnote 373?
I think so.
This whole thing is footnoted, so everything is clear that you can go and find the original source. And again, listen to what they're saying today. They were lying to you then when they said this is a conspiracy theory, because they are saying today you must, it's inevitable, and you will have to participate. It's inevitable. I thought it was a conspiracy theory. So today's conspiracy theory is tomorrow's absolute fact. And by tomorrow, you could be in a digital jail. You need to understand what's happening.
Wow. I mean, what do you even say at the, I mean, there is just such, it's very sobering. It's hard to even go from there after hearing that. And since we're talking about digital currency, look at this article from the Politico. Government issue digital money gets closer. According to this report, a slew of developments from the U.S., Europe, and the rest of the world show that the future of state-backed money is starting to crystallize. By and large, despite the many obstacles to these technically demanding and politically sensitive overhauls, the world's monetary authorities are demonstrating that they remain determined to move them forward. And we got one more video clip for you. This is from CBN News, and they're going to talk to you about how dangerous, the dangers that you're never going to hear from the government. You're not going to hear this from the leaders. Here's the dangers posed from a digital dollar that is not a matter of if, but when it comes to fruition.
The United States Federal Reserve is considering the creation of a digital dollar. Cybercurrencies have many supporters, yet critics warn they would be a privacy nightmare.
One currency expert claims the removal of cash would push America closer to a totalitarian state. Dale Hurd has the story.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell told the House Financial Services Committee in March that the Fed had already begun testing a digital dollar.
So what we're doing is experimenting in kind of early stage experimentation. How would this work? Does it work? What's the best technology? What's the most efficient?
Just like paper dollars, a central bank digital currency, or CBDC, would be issued by the Federal Reserve. Those pushing for it say it would have several advantages over physical money. They say it could be used to fight inflation because the Fed would have more direct control over the money supply.
Of course.
It could speed up transaction payments and help fight money laundering.
The ability to track transactions has a couple of elements that are very attractive to economic policymakers. One is to know where people are spending their money.
So again, watch this. Here's the bait. Here's the glamour. Here's the thing that attracts them. This is the bait that gets people hooked in. This is the selling point.
Another is to track taxes and prevent evasion and that sort of thing.
Backers say the U.S. needs a digital dollar if it wants to remain the world's reserve currency. Opponents warn that it could be a very effective instrument of government control. Physical money has been called one of the last bastions of privacy. Laws like the Bank Secrecy Act have already stripped away most of the privacy from bank accounts and financial transactions.
Banks have really a ton of power that people don't realize to shut down accounts, to freeze accounts, and to...
Oh, and by the way, if you don't believe that, Look at these Christian organizations. We did a podcast on this. Their bank accounts were frozen because they disagreed with a certain agenda, or they spoke out against a certain ideology, and they found themselves locked out, or they found themselves receiving a letter or a notice that their account had been shut down. We reported on that. This goes under that ESG stuff that Glenn Beck was just talking about, that we've talked about on this program. So again, it's here, folks. Wake up. It's all around us. It's happening in real time.
You end up holding them for really any number of reasons.
Currency expert James Rickard says a digital currency would move America closer to a totalitarian state.
If I buy anything, the government doesn't know it. MasterCard kind of knows it, but even MasterCard uses product codes. So they don't say, you know, Jim bought a Snickers. It says Jim bought miscellaneous merchandise at a retail place. So the government doesn't know what you're doing. But with this new central bank digital currency, they will, because they maintain the ledger. So if I buy, you know, Ron DeSantis's new book, or I go to a Donald Trump rally or whatever it may be, the government, using artificial intelligence and having that information, which they would, are able to profile you. They say, well, this guy kind of looks like a conservative, and maybe he's MAGA. And then you've got a target on your back.
Last year, wow, a Canadian court froze millions of dollars raised for truckers blocking roads to protest COVID-19 vaccine mandates. When the Pakistani government was faced with almost nonstop protests last year, it threatened to switch off the bank accounts of
Listen
the protesters.
To that.
A digital dollar could not only be switched off, the Fed would be able to force negative interest rates on Americans if it wanted them to spend more, penalizing savers. Digital
wow.
cash might also be an easy target for hackers. On the bank-to-bank level, a real-time payment system called FedNow is expected to begin in July. It's not a digital currency, but an upgrade to what some call our antiquated banking system.
FedNow service is an instant payments infrastructure that financial institutions can use to clear and settle payments instantly.
Large bank deposits will be expected to clear much faster than they do now. But when it comes to a digital dollar, Fed Chairman Powell has admitted he's not at all confident that Americans want it. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
There you have it, folks. All the puzzle pieces are falling into place for the beast system to come into fruition. We are missing, again, we need the key players, the Antichrist, the false prophet. We need the construction of the third temple that is literally in the wings coming up. Everything is falling into place. The puzzle pieces are falling together of end time prophecy. And, Luke 21:28, I will consistently tell you that. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come in the past, that you need to look up and you need to lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Guys, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. Get this word out so that it can go out there. This is how it gets out on the algorithms. There's our main website right above me on your screen. If you're watching, it's endtimeheadlines.org. If you're listening, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Download our free app. That's how you're going to keep up with our ministry. Again, it's available on Apple, it's available on Android, and it's absolutely free. Listen, if this ministry blesses you, it informs you, it equips you. And I know some of you is like, I get your emails and messages, and well, Brother Ricky, are you going to do some equipping messages? Yes, I know the last week or two, we've been pumping out information to you, revelatory information. But next week, we've got some equipping messages on deck. So you don't want to miss that, because we want to equip, we want to inform, we want to encourage, and we want to educate you on the times and the seasons in which we're in. Listen, if you stand behind that, you support this ministry, you believe what we do, I want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. Whatever that looks like to you. If you don't have a home church, this is your home church. Whatever that looks like to you, whatever relationship is with End Time Headlines, pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can do that through the app. If you got the app, go down to the bottom where it says donate and click on there, and you can give electronically. You can give according to whatever the Lord purposes on your heart. You can become a monthly partner, and this helps us continue to remain strong and active and do what we're doing, because all of our messages are free. The app is free. The website's free. Everything's free. We don't charge you anything. There's no merchandise, anything. Again, everything's free. We just ask that you pray about becoming a partner of our ministry. If you wish to give by a check or money order, you can do that easily by making it out to End Time Headlines at P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And as always, guys, listen, we appreciate you so much. Please continue to pray and intercede for Brother Ricky, for myself. I'm still in a battle with gastritis and from stomach issues. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It takes a while to heal up. I'm trying to do everything I can naturally to do that. We want to get on back on the track of healing and stay on track. So I appreciate and covet your prayers. Again, we appreciate your partnership and support of our ministry. We're going to sign off for tonight. Listen, if you're watching this and listening to this, someone invited you in, or you stumbled across and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, listen, the Bible says, repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's as plain as it gets. I'm not going to have you repeat something after me. Nowhere in the Bible that they ever did that. Nowhere. In the New Testament, Jesus didn't do it. He didn't say, I want you to lay your hand on your heart and repeat this after me. I used to do that, but I stopped doing it because it's not biblical. What is biblical is they commanded them to repent and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're asking you to do right now. If you don't know the Lord, then do that right now. Do and make the best decision you've ever made by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Get you a Bible, begin to read it, begin to pray, develop that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get plugged into a local body of believers if it is possible. If there is no Bible-believing, doctrinally sound, Spirit-filled churches where you live, again, we welcome you to our ministry, and we pray that we help equip you and inform you and build your faith and get you rooted and grounded in the Word of the living God. So we want to do that. If you're backslid and you're watching this, repent. Get right with God. Get back on track and finish the race that's set before you, because time is of the essence. Come on, do you receive this today? In Jesus' name, come on, receive this today. So listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. We will be off this weekend. We'll be right back here, Lord willing, on Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with to kick off our week of podcasting on Monday night. So until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a few days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.